everybody. Welcome back to Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker. If you're watching this anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video, we got all kinds of links that related to the topics, questions that come up. We've got extra text, information, updates. Sometimes we actually have to edit stuff that come on and say, hey, by the way, you know, this has changed. So go to calbanyan.com for the latest information. How's things going with you, Meredith?
Been going so well, Cal. I'm just, you know, working away, learning a lot. Every new client teaches me more than I knew before, and I just love what I do.
We're so proud of you. You are a one percenter par excellence.
I am a one percenter, Cal. And
yes.
So are you.
All right. Good. And let's see. I guess it's time for me to do my usual announcements, unless you got anything I need to do.
Announcements come first, Cal.
You know, I want to just publicly thank Meredith, because, you know, what she has to do is she's more than just the co-host. She really has to kind of be a producer. She gathers the questions. She figures out what she's going to be, you know, asking me. And, of course, there is Taylor, who is our tech guy, that does all the stuff in the background, that he edits all this stuff. And so thank you guys for all you do. All right, quick announcements. I got through them pretty fast last time. I'm going to try to get through them even faster this time. The economic stimulus package will end without notice. That's the FivePath 2.0 set. Save $300. I think there's, I'm not sure if you can still get in on the savings on Jerry Valley's package. I'll have a link right below. Even at full price, it's worth the trip to Las Vegas to learn how to be a stage hypnotist. I tell you, just do a couple of shows. You've paid for the whole thing, and then you are in the black. Imagine getting paid to market your hypnotherapy practice. Pretty good deal. And that's what you can do once you start doing hypnosis demonstration shows and that kind of thing. We've got the July NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course coming up. And October, we've got the 9 to 23. And October, let me say this all over again. I'm trying to go so fast. It's like my grandmother used to say, the faster I go, the behinder I get. October 19th to the 23rd and the 26th to the 30th is the other NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course. And I don't know, check the link below. You still might have time to get in on our early enrollment special and save $250. Hypnospace.com membership is going up. It's getting to be more and more fun all the time. One of our most popular groups is the Hypnosis Scripts group, where I've posted some scripts that you can just download. Go there. Are you open to additional sources of income? Would you like to lose some weight? Would you like your clients to lose weight? Would you like to have a way to build a residual income? Then email Meredith or I, and we'll call you up personally, explain the whole thing to you, spill the beans. Meredith, what's the email address you want to use?
Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com.
Perfect. I'm Cal Banyan at hypnosiscenter.com. You can email either one of us. We'll give you a call. By the way, you need to be in the U.S., Canada, Australia, Hong Kong, Taiwan, or Puerto Rico at this time. I may be able to work with people in other countries shortly, but right now we got to limit it to that. If you're in another country and you still want the information, you want to be put on my call list when I can work in your country, then just email me and say, hey, I know I'm like in Ireland or something, and I can't work with you yet, but let me know as soon as you can. NGH Convention, 7th, 8th, and 9th, with pre- and post-hypnosis courses. I'm teaching a course on Friday, and two of them actually. One is on 5-Path, a quick overview of 5-Path. It's a free one-hour talk. And then I have one on secondary gain, and that's on Friday, also in the afternoon. And the big deal is going to be my pre-convention course. It is a 7-Path teacher certification course. You do not have to have been, let me see, the only prerequisite is that you've had basic hypnosis training, and then you can become a 7-Path self-hypnosis teacher. Now, let me tell you something. This this workshop is going to be the buzz of the convention, because people are absolutely amazed at the transformations that go on in that class. It's going to be a great time. Keep going to the hypnotistconvention.ning.com. That's the NGH website, a little community website. Talk about the convention. Now, as you can tell, I'm trying to get through this really quick. I forgot to start my timer. And, okay, I talked about that Elsom Eldridge, one of the main organizers for the convention, what he's doing is he's doing little, like, one-hour seminars. I'm not sure they're one-hour or half-hour seminars with all the people who will be teaching the pre- and post-convention workshops, so that you have a chance to kind of get a feeling for what those people are like and what their topic is like. And during this next week, we're going to have the following calls. Let's see, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, NLP Practitioner Certification Training and NLP Master Certification with Will Horton. And 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Past Self-Hypnosis Teacher Certification Training with Cal Banyan, where I'm going to talk about it and you can ask me questions and stuff. And Friday, June 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Making Presentations Memorable and Magical with Chuck Mignosa. So, and let me see if I can kind of give you a heads up on some other things that are coming next week, which is 9 o'clock, say June 20th, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Resolving Body-Focused Repetitive Behaviors with Drake Eastburn. And Sunday, June 21st, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Past Life Regression Certification with Georgina Cannon. Let's see. Also, there's going to be an NGH Sports Hypnosis Certification course with Bob Reese, and the Ultimate Stage Hypnosis deal with Jerry Valley. And I'll give you those exact times in our next episode. And I've got a link down there to the total schedule. All right. I don't know how long that took, but I'm doing as best I can. Take it away, Meredith.
All right. Well, we've got all kinds of people tuned in right now to ourhypnospace.com watching this filming live, and it's really exciting. I know Cal's been excited about it. He's acting like a kid at Christmas time with a new toy. And we're certainly working out some of the kinks, so thank you to those of you who are trying to work on getting your sound and everything up and running and being patient with that. But this is just really fun. And so we have a couple questions that were submitted just now from these live streamers, and so I want to kind of start with those, and then we have a little bit of a topic to cover today. So you ready for the first question, Cal?
I'm always ready.
Beautiful. Well, Pia asks, ethically speaking, I always tell my students not to work using hypnotherapy with family members. What is your opinion about that?
Pia, you're absolutely wrong. No, I'm just kidding. It's just seen the shocked look on her face because I've got her video running down below. This is the deal. I learned about this idea when I was, going through school for psychology. And if you're doing strictly direct suggestion work, go ahead and work with family, friends, that kind of thing. But your previous relationship can cause difficulties. If you're doing uncovery work, like age regression work, where you're starting to uncover the cause of the problem, I highly, highly suggest that you don't work with family and friends, and this is why. Two negative outcomes can occur. One is, because of your previous relationship, when you enter into this hypnotherapist, hypnotist, client relationship, then you have what's called a dual relationship. And when you have more than just a professional relationship, the dynamics can get goofy, difficult, whatever you want to call it. For example, let's say you want to do hypnosis with your mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, spouse, and you are doing age regression work. And you go back to a time. It's very important to get for your client to get insight and change. There's a couple things that can happen. Let's say it was a very embarrassing event that started it off, or it was a subsequent event after it started off, and it's just really embarrassing. A couple things can happen. One is your client can reveal it and revivify it. And the problem with that is now your previous relationship with that individual is contaminated by that embarrassing knowledge. And let's say it was a best friend. Now this person is not feeling comfortable around you anymore because you know this embarrassing information, and it can totally ruin a relationship. The other thing that could happen is clients can refuse to reveal stuff when you do hypnosis with them. And so this very important thing that needs to be uncovered and worked with and neutralized, the client doesn't reveal it. So in this case, what happens is your previous relationship interferes with the resolution of the problem. And so the person says, hypnosis doesn't work. And that's not good for the person, that's not good for you, the professional, and it's certainly not good for the profession. So here's the deal. You don't want to do it because it can interfere with the relationship you have. Number two, you don't want to work with friends and family members because that previous relationship can interfere with the disclosing of the important information. So please avoid it. There's only one exception, and that is where you are really the only person that can offer the service. Then perhaps it would be unethical not to offer the service to the friend or family member, but you're doing it at the risk of harming the relationship. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Yeah, I typically don't. I've only worked with one person that I know. She was a good friend of mine, and we had worked together as therapists, and so we knew so much already about each other, and we had a big conversation about it before I decided to work with her, and we both agreed that we felt comfortable, and that she felt like it didn't matter what came up in session, she would feel free and comfortable to share it with me, and so I proceeded and we worked together. But, you know, otherwise I really wouldn't. I would never work with a family member. I would really hesitate to work with any other friends, and you know, if it's because of money and that's the reason why someone might want to work with someone because, you know, they can't afford to go to someone else, I don't know, I'd still be hard pressed because there's this whole idea of fair exchange for services, and people are, they have success coming out of something that they commit themselves to, and part of that commitment is financial. And so, you know, even then, that might even make it more problematic that you're here seeing this person who may not be able to, you give full disclosure and they haven't committed financially to the process. So it just, it's not a good situation. It's certainly not the best therapeutic relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the things is, even if you take the time to say, you know, the individual really feels comfortable and working with you, whatever comes up, but the problem is, because the event that caused or events that contributed to the problem may not be something that the person is aware of consciously, it makes it difficult for the individual to give an informed consent because they may be consenting to give up information that they don't know exists. So it's a minefield, and if at all possible, avoid it. Build a good relationship with another hypnotherapist in your area or a consulting hypnotist that can work with those kinds of people, and just cross-refer. That's what I recommend.
I agree. Definitely. You ready for another question?
I'm ready.
All right. So Bill, our special spirit releasement expert, is wanting us to touch upon the idea of touching clients. He says, in my work, which is doing, you know, spirit releasement work predominantly, I'm worried about anchoring something negative. And I asked him to elaborate on that a little bit. He's here on our live streaming. And he said, I do spirit releasement and many times the entities can pop in and even surprise me. If I'm touching to reassure the client, I feel that a chance to anchor the other.
Okay. This is such a good topic. I don't know if I've ever really got into spirit releasement work. Let me just say, just so everybody that's listening has some idea what I'm talking about here. There, in the field of hypnosis, you will find that sometimes when you work with people, you can run into a number of weird things. And it's up to you to decide whether or not you believe in them or whether or not you want to work with these issues or not. But just to let you know that these things can come up. And that is, you know, just like houses can be haunted, people can be haunted, and just like entities can attach to a house, they can attach to a person, and this can be uncovered in the hypnosis process. And a typical example is someone would spontaneously, during an age regression session, go back to a past life. Now, your intent was not to take them into a past life, but just go back to, you know, the ISC, initial sensitizing event in this life, and boom, they drop into what appears to be a past life. And if you know how to work with that, there's ways to determine whether or not that is that individual's past life, or if it is the other, as Bill Lucas says. And if you want to learn more about this, there's some good materials. There's a book called The Unquiet Dead by Edith Fiore. There is the William Baldwin book, the Spirit Releasement Therapy Manual. I have a package out, which is Spirit Releasement Work for, you know, hypnotherapy professionals, hypnosis professionals, a CD case. But the deal is, and also in addition to, like, dead people, there's also possibility to have negative energies. And some people call them demons and devils, or an attempt to clinicalize the term is dark force entities and a myriad of other kinds of negative energies. So let's say you're doing the work and the person becomes upset. Would touching them anchor the other to them? In my understanding of anchoring, you don't anchor entities. What you can do is anchor states, like a fear state or a courage state. And so what you can do is you can, to kind of give you an idea of what anchoring means, typically in NLP practice, they'd have someone get in a real positive state, real positive state, real positive state, and then physically do something. Like they might go, yeah! And then what happens is that yeah kind of thing becomes anchored, or what this existed long before NLP called it, and it was really more of a classical conditioning type paradigm. But through repeated pairing of a situation with a stimulus, they become associated in the subconscious and unconscious mind. So you can get into a positive state and then do some physical activity. Yeah! And they become associated, and pretty soon the physical thing that you do, like, yeah, will start to evoke the positive state inside of you. And this is just like Dr. Ivan Pavlov ringing the bell, showing the dog food, and then the dog drooling, and then pretty soon just ringing the bell causes the dog to salivate. So and we also do this accidentally, condition, we could be in a bad state and then do something physical, and they become associated. So I don't see that touching someone when they are experiencing some entity or other would anchor the other. But what it can do theoretically is anchor the emotional state that they're in. So they're feeling really sad, maybe they're afraid, and you touch their shoulder to to comfort them, then the touching on the shoulder could theoretically anchor the emotional state, and that would be the problem. When as far as the touching someone while you're doing that kind of work, I'd be more concerned about transferring, if you believe in this kind of stuff, that entity or negative energy to yourself. And what you want to do is, if you're doing a spirit releasement work, this kind of spiritual work where you're dealing with negative energies of any kind, you want to make sure you've got good spiritual hygiene. And that means every day you should, you know, like you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you should do some kind of spiritual work to kind of turn up your light and your positive energy. And examples would be prayer, meditation, and seventh path. Good. I hope that helps you out, Bill.
Beautiful. Do you think we have time for something else? I've got 19 minutes on the timer here, Cal.
Yeah, it's, you know, we had a lot of announcements. Let's go to 25 minutes or so.
All right, sounds good. So there was a recent posting on a Yahoo group for the Five Path Yahoo group, and it was about rates in these economic times. And I'm not going to mention the name of this poster because, you know, he doesn't know that I was going to bring this up. But I think that it's a really timely topic. I think that, you know, it's something that as people that work with the public and we have kind of a high turnover rate because we are so effective in what we do, you know, we constantly have to get new clients and we constantly have to convince new clients that our rates are acceptable. And we certainly want to collect a reasonable amount for our time. But you know, these days people are really concerned about money. And so maybe they're watching their dollars more than usual, even if they haven't lost their job, even if they're not suffering financial hardship right now. And so kind of this topic is about, you know, how do I sell my clients? How do I get clients and get the price that I'm asking for, that I feel is reasonable? And this brings up a huge long list of things, Cal, right? I mean, it brings up how do you set your rate? And you've talked about this in class, that you kind of look around at the people that are around you and you maybe set it a little bit below that when you first start out, and then when you're relatively full with clients, then you raise it. Right? Is that basically a good synopsis of what you share?
Meredith, you're on a roll with this. So why not, and this is a topic that, you know, as far as, you know, Maureen, my wife, who's a general manager, she does most of the working the telephone and getting kind of getting people to make the appointment. And she's taught you. And why don't you just go ahead and transfer that experience that you have, because you've used it in your practice and maybe some of your experience. Why don't you just go ahead and take this one?
Yeah. So when I first started, I definitely did a survey. I went around kind of, you know, calling and looking on websites. Some people do post their rates. I do not, for exactly this reason, because I want to be able to have some flexibility in the rate when I'm working with different kinds of clients with different kinds of budgets. But I did get an idea of what the rates were in my area. And in Los Angeles, they're a little bit higher than they probably are in Illinois or in some of the lower cost areas. And so I was already able to charge a little bit more in the beginning. But I set it pretty well equal to in the very beginning, and then pretty quickly, because I got so much business, I raised it. And essentially what happens for me is I get a call from a client, and what I make sure to do is really connect with them as a person first. Because if they feel connected with you, if they resonate with you, if you will, and if they feel like you are the person who has an answer for them, they're going to value you and value whatever number you throw out there much more so than if you, you know, just say, okay, my rates are, and before you've even had a chance to share with them how it is that you can help them. And so I really make sure to make that connection first. And so the client is good and excited to get started with me before I even throw out that rate. And you know, that's why I don't post my rates on my website, and that's why I don't email my rates to people for the most part. I've made very rare exceptions on that. But then what I do is I see how they react, and I tell them, you know, this is my rate per session. And when I get out, sometimes people, you know, no big deal. They accept the rate. Okay, when can I set up an appointment? And we go on from there. If that's what they do, beautiful. We just move past it. If they seem to be taken aback, if it seems like I've knocked the wind out of them with my rate, or they even openly say, oh, wow, that's a lot more than I thought it would be, then I ask them, what was it that you were expecting? Because you don't know if they are thinking that hypnosis is going to be $25 a session, which is clearly unrealistic, and you that you wouldn't accept that, or if maybe they're just looking for a little bit less. And so when I get an idea of what their expectation was, then I can work with that. And something that I really like to say to my clients, and I learned this from a life coach friend of mine, is what for you would be a stretch but not a strain? And I explain to them that it's important that they commit financially to the process. In order to be successful, you've got to put your money into this, you know, this form of treatment. And so once they commit their money, they're going to be committed to the process and they're going to get a lot more out of it. And, you know, but on the other hand, I want to be able to help people who maybe have a little bit of a scaled back budget. And so if I say, what for you would be a stretch for you but not a strain on your budget, and I let them throw out a number, and if it's reasonable for me, then I'm going to take it. And there's the other thing that I can do is I don't necessarily have to collect for the whole process up front. For some people, paying $1,000 for a process up front is overwhelming. And so what I do oftentimes in this economy is I do collect a little in advance, but what I'll do is I'll collect for two sessions on the first session. And then on the second session, I collect for the third session, and on the third for the fourth. And then people are able to kind of get another paycheck before they've put all of the money down, and it really stretches things out a little bit. You can also at some point give them a session free, basically, which averages the cost and brings it down a little bit. And I do that quite often. I'll give them the fifth free, but I don't average it down for them. I collect my full session price all the way through, and then if they've paid for the four sessions, then they will indeed not have to pay for the fifth. So these are just some ways that I've handled it, and I kind of threw this out there to our group, our live streaming group, and we've gotten a couple, a question and a comment. Pia says, I've heightened my rate through this economic time, and my success rate has been growing fast. The clients seem to be more motivated, and I find that too, Pia. I find that in these times, people are definitely looking for help. I mean, if you were already stressed before, and now you're worried about money, you're going to be even more stressed, and you're going to be doing the things that you need help with more. You're going to be drinking more, eating more, smoking more, having all of these challenges more. And so clients are more motivated than ever. I agree completely. And then there was a question, do you have any advertising tips in these economic times? Cal, you're an awesome advertiser. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something that we just figured out. We, for years, we really did a lot of our marketing through the internet. There wouldn't have been a Banyan Hypnosis Center if it wasn't for the internet, at least not the magnitude it is now. And also through Yellow Pages, and we have just discontinued our Yellow Pages program as of when this year, when it runs out in a few months, we're not going to be doing it anymore because we track all of our marketing sources. So now we go through, there's really three ways that we get clients. One is simply through the internet, and that means our website. And second, through referrals from our students and other hypnotherapists who know me. And then our clients, of course. You should have a really good referral network going after you've been in the profession for a while. Wow, how do you like my hat?
I can't see your hat, Cal.
You can't see my hat?
No.
Don't you have my video on?
I guess maybe I don't. Here we go.
I'm wearing my Certified Hypnosis Pro hat.
There you are. Ooh, I like your hat.
Hey. When I'm riding along in my convertible, I need to have a hat on, so, you know.
I know. He's got a pretty new car.
Sometimes I just wear it like this. And then everybody behind me, they know that I'm a Certified Hypnosis Pro.
Or
a Certified something, anyway. Okay.
All right. So just to finish up touching on how to advertise, I get the majority of my clients through referrals from my previous clients or from the internet. Those are the main sources. I don't do a lot of work advertising. I really highly recommend optimizing your website and doing what you need to do to get yourself up as high as possible on Google. Some of the ways that I happen to do that is by advertising through Cal's sites, and he's kind of been the guru of the internet for so long. He's been on it for so long. Not to say you're old or anything, Cal, but he was around when the internet was born, I think, right?
Oh, I was online before there was an internet. I first went online about 1983 or 84. So I've been online a long time.
Yes. And so that means he's really high up on Google. And so that means if I can piggyback off of him, I'm going to. So that's how I advertise. It's been working for me. I've never had more calls. In fact, I've been really trying hard to take a vacation. One of these days, I'm just going to schedule it, block myself out, and go. You going to come, Cal?
I'm ready to go. How are we doing on time?
We're done.
All right, wrap it up.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with another episode very, very soon. And definitely check out all the links at the bottom of where this video is posted on calbanyan.com. My name is Meredith. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Thanks, all. Take care. Bye-bye.
A couple of things before I log off. I wrote down because I want to remember. I want to let everyone know that Pia, who's live streaming with us right now, she's in Denmark. She told me what city, and I don't remember what it is, but I'm going to make this quick. And she's a C5 certified professional hypnosis instructor. She can teach my courses. I think Celeste just logged on. She is a certified hypnosis, professional hypnosis instructor called a C5, and she's there in Texas. And that's it. Remember to go to my website. websites, calbanion.com, hypnosis.org. That's where you can get on the directory, get some free advertising. We also have a paid advertising option. And that's enough for now. Cal Banion, signing out. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.